From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Evening Edition.
Now at 6, the governor says that California had record tourism numbers, but Bay Area businesses are saying, where's the money?
And as you can see on a Sunday afternoon brunch, it's not happening.
Plus, it can be rough for young kids to get to school in San Francisco's Tenderloin neighborhood, having to pass by drugs and crime. How one group of volunteers is clearing the path.
And from mariachi music to lowriders, Mexican culture was on full display in San Jose for Cinco de Mayo. Live from the studios here in San Francisco, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Andrea Nakano. Governor Newsom stood on top of the Golden Gate Bridge, proclaiming tourism is back. And while that may be the case across the state, the numbers in the Bay Area are still down.
According to figures from Visit California, tourists in the Bay Area spent $37.7 billion last year, which is still below the 2019 figure of $39 billion. Three counties that saw the most of the region's travel spending have yet to make it back to pre-pandemic levels. Tourists spent about $14 billion in San Francisco County. They were spending $14.2 in 2019. In Santa Clara County, tourists spent $7 billion, nearly back to pre-pandemic levels. And San Mateo County was just about even with 2019 spending. All to say that we haven't exactly bounced back. But Los Angeles and Orange County have. They saw double-digit increases in tourism spending. Dial in on why the Southland is doing so well.
Live jazz, warm weather, and happy visitors. This is music to the ears of Pier 39 business owners.
We're coming from London. We just landed yesterday.
While business activity is buzzing at Pier 39, that's not the case everywhere.
Waiting for the tourists to come and for the season to really get going. And as you can see on a Sunday afternoon brunch, it's not happening.
Mac Liebert of Pier 23 Cafe says they are surviving, not thriving. In fact, he says business was down about 25% to 30% in 2023 compared to 2019.
You need people coming through the door to survive, and when they're not coming, it's hard to keep doors open.
He's not alone. Many small businesses complain they're still recovering from the pandemic.
You guys can hop on this one here.
The owner of San Francisco Deluxe Tours tells me his tour bus business is down about 40% in 2023 compared to 2019.
I'm the oldest guy out here at 77.
Pedicab operator Corral Nunnick says his business is down at least 20%.
We've been having to work harder for less cash, basically. 2019 was good. 2023, you know, the thing that has died is the international tourist.
And that's what industry leaders are blaming, specifically the Asian market. Scott Beck, the CEO of San Francisco Travel, says only about 50% of the Chinese tourists have returned. And traditionally, he says, Chinese visitors spend big money in San Francisco.
Pre-pandemic, China was our largest long-haul overseas market. Over $2 billion a year of spend in our market. Right now, capped by the governments of the U.S. and governments of China, air service is capped right now at 50% of pre-pandemic levels. So we can't get back to the normal, what we would call normal baseline visitation, because you do not have the seats in the airplanes to make it happen.
He says L.A. gets a lot more domestic visitors, and the domestic visitation has pushed the Southern California tourism industry well beyond the 2019 levels. Experts say SoCal's strong rebound is what's driving up the entire state's tourism spending.
Our record-breaking tourism numbers last year, $150 billion.
The governor made the announcement on top of the iconic Golden Gate Bridge. The CEO of Pier 39 says they've been fortunate. Their sales were flat compared to 2019.
The convention business is still down, and for 24, you know, we expect it to be down and really not rebound until 25 and beyond.
Max says while tourism spending is trending in the right direction, San Francisco still has a lot of work ahead, especially on its image and reputation.
We're really hanging our hat on that it's going to be good and tourism's going to come back and people are going to want to go out and spend money.
Local experts say the number of Chinese visitors will likely return to the 2019 levels by 2026.
As for getaways for Bay Area residents, in wine country, tourism was better than last year, than before the pandemic in Sonoma. And in Napa, the spending was about where it was before the pandemic.
Well, Oakland is trying to get more international tourists by changing the name of their airport. The final vote is set to take place on Thursday. The Port Commission will vote on whether to change the name to the San Francisco Bay Oakland International Airport. In an initial vote last month, Port Commissioners voted unanimously to favor the name change. Oakland officials hope the modified name will boost worldwide recognition of the airport's location in the Bay Area. San Francisco has filed a lawsuit in federal court to fight the name change.
Another step in San Francisco's quest to invigorate downtown, just add alcohol in what's being called an entertainment zone. Mayor London Breed hopes to boost business by allowing controlled public drinking. The entertainment zone is planned for Front Street between California and Sacramento. There are three bars on that block, and they like the idea.
In my mind, in our collective minds, we have an idea and a vision, but we have to share that once we sit at the table. But whatever it is, it's going to be spectacular.
Entertainment zones in California were made possible after a bill authored by State Senator Scott Wiener. It was passed last year. There's still some legal tinkering to get through at the city level before it can go forward, but the mayor's office is committed to the idea.
All right, time for some weather now, and let's go over to our First Alert meteorologist, Darren Peck. Darren?
This is a week of dramatic turnarounds. From the rainfall yesterday and daytime highs today in the 50s, I got to move ahead, and we're going to focus on the big warm-up coming our way. And to set the stage, take a look at daytime highs for today and tomorrow. Pretty much equal everywhere. We've got a beautiful, clear day out there today, but we didn't warm up a whole lot just yet. Now I'm going to show you the difference between these numbers and where we're going to be on Friday. How much warmer our number's going to be? 20 to 25 degrees warmer between now and Friday. And to spare you from having to do the arithmetic, let me just put Friday's numbers on here. This is where we're going to end the week. Low to mid 80s. Tri-Valley's going there. San Francisco's going to 75 by the time we get to the end of the week. Quite a big turnaround. This is just a headline for you. I'll go into much more detail on how this plays out and why we're not staying this way going into next weekend. See you in the forecast in a bit, guys. Back to you.
All right. Thanks, Darren. College students continue to camp on at least three Bay Area campuses. They are demanding a ceasefire in the war in Gaza and asking their schools to divest from any company that has a relationship with Israel. While the protests in the Bay Area have been mostly peaceful, more than 2,000 people have been arrested in protests across the country. Christian Benavides reports.
On the campus of the University of Southern California Sunday morning, the LAPD moved in to clear out protesters and remove a campus encampment.
We saw that the LAPD and DPS in dozens came in at around 4 a.m., gave a dispersal warning, at which most of them peacefully left. Some of them were chanting, but again, peacefully left.
Demonstrations continued across the country, from UT Austin in Texas to DePaul University in Chicago, where police responded after tense moments between pro-Palestine and pro-Israeli protesters.
Ceasefire now!
Ceasefire now!
The campus demonstrations have led to divisions inside the Democratic Party, just as President Joe Biden is in the middle of a tough re-election campaign. California Representative Ro Khanna has been trying to court young voters on college campuses at the behest of the Biden campaign.
This is a defining moment for this generation, similar to anti-Vietnam protests, anti-apartheid protests, anti-Iraq war protests. And they're telling us that over 30,000 people have died. It's time for this war to end.
Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, who also supports Biden, has been critical of the protests.
I will say that these kind of protests haven't been helpful.
On Sunday, Ohio State University and Northeastern University held their commencement ceremonies. After on Saturday, students at the University of Michigan interrupted their ceremony.
Well, right now, we are not aware of any planned disruptions to local commencements. Berkeley's ceremony is next weekend. Sonoma State is the following weekend, and San Francisco State will be the one after that. All three have active pro-Palestinian encampments. Berkeley says there are no plans to change the programming. They said graduations have been venues for all sorts of protests for many years. This year, like every year in the past, efforts will focus on the ability of graduating students, their friends, and families to safely enjoy and take part in an incredibly meaningful day.
Students are demanding a ceasefire, but today Hamas said that those talks, ceasefire talks, are over, at least for now. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that no amount of international pressure will stop Israel's war in Gaza, while the UN estimates a child is killed every 10 minutes there. The Israeli government vowing to move forward with an attack in Rafah. That's where more than a million Palestinians are living. At the same time, Israel is saying that despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary, people in Gaza are not facing famine. This comes after the executive director of the World Food Program expressed on Meet the Press the dire situation in the region. San Francisco youngsters faced off in the Kezar Kids Games today. The fastest runners and the longest jumpers got to compete against each other at the former home of the Raiders and 49ers, Kezar Stadium. Those were the days. Some of the kids said that they were inspired today to pursue track and field once they get to middle and high school.
They're having a great time. It's a good time. We thank our sponsors. We get the kids out. Doesn't cost them anything. Get the parents involved. They run track, meet new friends. We feed them, and everybody has a good day. As long as the weather cooperates.
We did the best we could. The Police Activities League was founded 65 years ago to give kids an alternative to delinquency. They've now got an arts program, a number of different sports, and chess. All free of charge.
And it was a beautiful day for those kids to be playing in San Francisco and a great day to ski in Tahoe. The UC Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab says yesterday was the snowiest day of the season so far. The lab recorded more than 2 feet of snow at their site near Donner Pass.
Shout out to St. Mary's Rugby. In Houston, they beat the favorite and defending national champion, Navy Midshipmen, last night to win the 2024 Division I-A Natty. It was the fourth national title under head coach Tim O'Brien and first since 2007. Congratulations to the Gales. Cal softball wrapped up the regular season today with a loss to Oregon State. They still won the three-game series as the 19th-ranked Bears head into the Pac-12 tournament next week and the NCAA tournament to follow. So the outlook looks bright. And orange.
That's always good.
Good has been great for Cal pitcher Ryan Orange. The second-year transfer is looking to make a mark with a program. Her grandfather, John Carlos, made a mark to the world 56 years ago. And Orange has been aware since the sixth grade.
I think I bought a book to one of my teachers, and then she's like, oh, like, this is your grandfather? And I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know why it's so serious. My mom, like, kind of, like, talked to me and, like, ran me through, like, what his name means and, like, what he did.
When your teacher reacted like that, did B's all of a sudden become A's? Did
I mean, no.
Did carry a little bit more weight, little panache?
No.
No?
No.
That's great.
Numbers don't lie. This is a top 20 team, a 30-win team. And Orange says this February tournament at Louisiana Lafayette was a turning point. Cal players chose to kneel during the national anthem. Six Bears players were verbally harassed with racial comments.
That could have been the point in season that really divided us. But like at the end of the day, like I feel like it brought us closer. It lit a fire kind of because we went on a very hot run after that, actually.
Cal won the next 11 games, 16 of 17. Through it all, Orange kept thinking what Grandpa said.
You have to stand for what you believe in, and you have to know what you're standing for and, like, always stand for regardless of, like, the repercussions that come with it.
I think she's on the right path. I tell her just make sure that you realize where you go, that you have this cloud over your head, and the cloud is called John Carlos.
What do you think you get from him in the bloodlines?
Speed.
His speed?
Yeah.
I would have thought confidence.
No, his confidence is on a whole other level. Like, he has, like, out-of-this-world confidence.
Cal has a record of 36-16. They face Stanford in the conference tournament next Thursday at 12:30. That's the first round of that tournament. Stanford is the host team in Palo Alto.
Wow, should be fun game and a good conference tournament. Thanks, Fern.
There were a number of San Jose Cinco de Mayo celebrations, including an all-day parade downtown, which began at City Hall, then headed to Plaza de Cesar Chavez. The festival was filled with food, music, vendors, and wrestling.
Over here is a lot of celebration, tradition, and what better way to do it than with Lucha Libre, you know?
This all started at 11 o'clock this morning. The party is now just wrapping up. Meanwhile, San Jose police are investigating a double stabbing that happened just about an hour ago near South King Road and Lido Way. Police are asking the public to avoid the area. Two people were taken to the hospital with serious injuries.
Activists in Richmond took to the sea today, protesting in a kayak out on the bay, which they hope to soon see free of Chevron oil tankers. Signage called for Richmond to cut ties with Chevron, which has an oil refinery in the city. The goal is ultimately climate justice, and there were also a number of Palestinian flags and anti-occupation messages.
It's going to be Waymo in the peninsula as they begin testing driverless cars in the coming weeks. The Google-owned company said its first step is expanding its service from San Francisco down to Sunnyvale. Rides will only be given to employees first between the city down to the border of San Mateo and Burlingame.
If you plan to head outdoors, watch out for rattlesnakes. East Bay Regional Parks put out a warning with some snake safety tips, which may seem obvious to most of us, but it may be worth repeating. Avoid hiking alone. Be extra attentive, scanning the ground, and stay on the trails and listen for that buzz of rattlesnakes rattle. We caught up with a mountain biker in the Oakland Redwoods who says he's not going to let snakes scare him away from his hobby.
I've been riding for quite some time, and I rarely see rattlesnakes out in the open. It's very rare, maybe one or two every two seasons or so. So, I mean, I just don't think it's really an issue.
Rattlesnakes are the leading cause of snake bite injuries in America, but scientists say they rarely bite unless they feel threatened or provoked.
And if you do happen to be outside enjoying the warmer weather, you must hydrate. Karen, so watch out for rattlesnakes and hydrate. Karen Kafer reports on how using a dirty water bottle could actually make your allergies worse.
As the temperatures climb, so can the amount of water it takes to stay hydrated. But before you step out with your reusable water bottle, maybe give it some TLC.
And we want people to stay hydrated, but we don't want them to do that at the risk of getting harm or getting an infection, which is what can happen if you're really not taking care of your water bottle.
Dr. Marianne Sumago with Cleveland Clinic says the inside of reusable bottles, whether plastic, glass, or stainless steel, are moist environments where bacteria loves to grow, especially under moving parts.
You're not getting in there with a bristle brush or really trying to get those mechanisms clean. You're going to leave that bacteria behind. And so, again, it's just another opportunity for things to kind of get out of control and grow.
That's not just really icky, it could also make you sick. Potential consequences include gastrointestinal issues and allergy symptoms.
If you've got mold allergies, you might be getting sniffles because that mold is going to grow over time. Absolutely loves a moist environment. And so you may have this unexplained constant sniffles, itchy nose, sneezing all the time.
Dr. Sumago says to give a water bottle a scrub with soap and water after each use, and don't forget to clean tops and straws. Ideally, throw the bottle in the dishwasher to get surfaces exposed to water pressure, both inside and out.
Well, thank you so much for watching. 60 Minutes is coming up next, and we will see you back here at 11.
Until then, the news continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area. For now, good night.